Following is the President's speech at Greenfield, Indiana, Tuesday, October 12, 1948.
It's my great privilege now to introduce to you the Mayor of the City of Greenfield, Honorable Jimmy Allen. Ladies and gentlemen, and distinguished guests, I'm very happy to welcome you to Greenfield. The next gentleman I have the honor of introducing needs no introducing. The people here, he is loved by all the people. As the Democratic candidate for office of the governor of the state of Indiana, Henry F. Stricker of Knox, Indiana. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My good Hoosier friends, Greenfield and Hancock County, I'm most grateful as a fellow Hoosier to see this immense throng here this morning to extend a hearty greeting to the next President of the United States and the present President. I have the happy privilege, my friends, of making a dual introduction here. First, I take pride in introducing the President of the United States and his party and his family, if you please, to one of the finest communities in the entire Hoosier State, rich in agriculture and in tradition, and inhabited by a solid, industrious people who have contributed much to the growth and development of our great state. This is the home, indeed, of the very best things in America, and it is also the birthplace of the most distinguished Hoosier in all history, James Whitcomb Riley. I'd like also to say that it is the home of two very distinguished Democrats and former chairman of the Democratic Party, the Honorable Stokes Jackson and his son, the Honorable Omer Jackson, who also served the state of Indiana as Attorney General. And one of the very interesting things about Greenfield, of course, is that this is the home and the origin of the rooster as the emblem of the Democratic Party, and it has never ceased to crow here in Hancock County. Now, my good friends, I have the very happy privilege and honor to introduce to you this fine assembly of Hoosier folk, one of the nation's sincerest and ablest public servants, one who understands and speaks the language of the great Middle West of which we are a part, the President of the United States of America.
This young lady is going to give me a book on the rooster.
Isn't that nice? That's a pretty button you got there. Whose button is that? Is that yours? Well, that's fine. That's your fine. Your eyes sound broken. Yes, it is. Tell him hello. Say hello.
Hi.
Now you go in here and see if
you can see Martin.
Governor, I appreciate most highly that introduction in this wonderful city of Greenfield. And I'm particularly happy to have a book from the young lady on the rooster. In 1892, when Grover Cleveland was re-elected President of the United States, my father decorated a rooster weather vane with all the colors of the American flag. And that flag flew from that rooster as a sign of victory in 1892, nearly all through Cleveland's administration. I can remember that because I was 6 years old then. I don't mind admitting it. It's a particular pleasure for me to be here in Greenfield today. Middle Westerners like myself all look upon your town as a sort of shrine because we feel that your own great poet, James Whitcomb Riley, belongs to all of us. I understand his birthday was just a week ago, and that October the 7th was made an official holiday in Indiana in 1915. There's a lot of down-to-earth common sense in Whitcomb Riley's poems, and we could use more of that in the world today. I don't think there's a kid in the country that doesn't know Orphan Annie, and I don't think there's a boy in the country that doesn't hone for the old swimming hole. And when you read Whitcomb Riley, you read just what we people in the Middle West think and act and do. He gives us a turn that no other poet in the country has ever given us. The natural tendency on the part of all of us is to think of the old times as the best, to tend to forget the hard times and remember the good times. We always remember the good things, and hardly ever do we remember the things that caused us trouble. And some of us want to live in the past. You can't do that. You've got to go forward with civilization. You've got to follow the clock around. The clock never runs backwards. You can't turn the world around the other way and bring time back. You've got to go forward with it. And yet you and I can remember that there were long periods of time in the so-called good old days when the times were bad for Indiana farmers and Indiana townspeople. All of you remember the Great Depression and what that meant to the American farmer. In order to pull the farmer out of the hole, he was in after 12 years of Republican rule, President Roosevelt started a number of programs designed to help the farmer and make a better living for him. Rural electrification, soil conservation, farm tenant purchase program, farm price support program, school lunch program, and many others. All these democratic programs played their part in raising our farms to the tremendous prosperity they enjoy today. You know, the farmer's like everybody else. When things are easy for him, he tends to neglect his political duties. He becomes fat and lazy and won't go to the polls on election day. He did that in 1946, and look what he got. The Republican Congress began immediately to try to turn the clock back, and the first one they took a whack at is the farmer. Prosperity is a good thing. It makes a better life possible for all farm families. And as a result, the whole country is better off. Farmers and laborers and businessmen can all be prosperous together. And that's the democratic principle. We want to make everybody have a fair share of the national income. It's a hard uphill fight to secure these great farm programs and to achieve the prosperity for American farmers. There was a determined Republican opposition to the Democratic effort to get the necessary laws on the books. When the Republicans finally got control of the 80th Congress, a new fight began, a fight to save these Democratic programs. I had to fight throughout the Republican 80th Congress to keep rural electrification program from being stopped altogether. They wanted to repeal it. They didn't want to give it any money at all. I had to fight for farms price supports and the school lunch program. It was all the administration of which I was the head could do to prevent the Congress from slashing funds for soil conservation right out of the budget. They did take them out in the House, but we had enough good, sensible Democrats in the Senate and a few forward-looking Republicans, and we put that appropriation back. Republican leaders seem determined to knock the props from under farm prosperity, despite the fact that everyone knows farm prosperity is essential to the national prosperity. I don't think American farmers intend to lose the ground they've won. That's why I'm confident. They'll vote to send Mr. Oliver to the Congress. They'll vote to send Mr. Schricker to the capital of Indiana, and they'll vote to send me back to the White House because that's their best interest to do all three of those things. Now, the best thing you can do is to vote in your own selfish interest on election day. And when you do that, you'll vote the Democratic ticket straight. And then you won't have to worry about the clock being turned back. If you vote that Republican Congress back, you have the same old backward-looking leaders. You can't afford to do that. Get up early now. Go to the polls on election day and vote a straight Democratic ticket and vote in your own interest. I do thank you a lot for this wonderful turnout. Wonderful welcome I've had in Indiana, at Richmond, and at this place. Just like it is everywhere else in the United States. Everybody's interested in these issues, and they're coming out to find out what I think about them. And you don't have any trouble finding out where I stand. I'll tell you frankly where I stand on all these issues which affect the people. Try to get the other fellow to do that, and you'll be a good one if you can get it done. How would you like to meet my family? Here's Miss Truman.
Margaret.
Here's Margaret. I think your candidate for Congress ought to have a chance to say a word if he feels like it.
Nothing to say.
Mr. Robert Oliver, I hope you'll elect him.